Welcome back, all you Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does out there, to another action-packed episode of the Mount Goatmore Cliff Dive podcast, where week in and week out, we get together and we talk about greatness. We discuss what it means to be the greatest of all time. And at the end of the day, we decide on the decisive list which four faces are going on your Mount Goatmore. This week, it's just me and Cam, but we have an exciting episode this week for you guys. Cam, how you doing this week, bro?
Doing all right, man. Just got finished eating some dinner. It is a week where I only have to work 3 days instead of the five, so I'm looking forward to those extra days off, hitting up the Rennie on the weekend, and we did some D&D yesterday, so it's gonna be an eventful week or so.
Action-packed all around.
I did not solve a murder mystery. Do not recruit me for Among Us.
Did the opposite of solve a murder mystery yesterday.
I enabled a murder.
Yeah, you enabled a murder.
Multiple. No, a massacre. Let's say that.
Yeah, it was a dark day in our Dungeons and Dragons session yesterday. But
this isn't Dungeons and Dragons.
This is not Dungeons and Dragons. This is Mount Goatmore Cliff Dive, and we are talking about what the internet wants to hear about. And Cam, this week, what are we talking about?
Man, I called you. I was like, which one are we going to do? And I'm still not sure what we're doing. But I think I was watching Across the Spider-Verse recently. And maybe I was watching something else, but I was like, this is the greatest action scene I've ever seen. And I was like, we should do greatest MCU action scenes. At this point, I'm like, maybe we should have done greatest Marvel action scenes, Marvel movie, but we can save that for later.
We're also sort of taking the next step from the anime or animated. Did we do animated or anime fight scenes?
Well, we have been doing fight scenes. No action scenes, fight scenes it is. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we've done best animated and best anime fight scenes. I believe we've done both of those, and this is the next step in that sort of saga.
We've done animated TV show and anime, and now we're moving on to MCU. We have a couple more in the that are going to be coming. Would you guys like a preview?
Yeah, give us a preview, Cam.
Oh, I was asking them, but I shall acquiesce to your demand, sir. We're going to do live action fight scenes. We're going to do pro wrestling fight scenes because pro wrestling is fake, unlike kaiju films. Reality TV show fight scenes. I think that one will be really fun and interesting to do. And just movie fight scenes. So, yeah. I suppose we need an animated movie one, too. This is going to be going on forever, people.
Yeah. Fight scenes never go away, right? This is part of a great action movie. Yeah, there's nothing like a great fight scene. And for all those people that want to focus on all the blood and gore and say that's not for them, I think looking at this Marvel list, what really opened my eyes was how great storytelling and like character building was happening in these fight scenes. Very much like when we did the anime does this as well. Lots of character driven fight scenes, but yeah, I think Marvel actually has a really good reputation of these fight scenes that sort of push the narrative or story forward, and it's not just sort of violence for violence sake. Everybody knows this podcast is a big fans of the MCU. We grew up with them. We nearly watched every single one together opening day all the way up to the end of Infinity Wars, definitely up through the first Avengers. But yeah, it's MCU is it does have some duds, but for the most part, I've always been extremely satisfied with the MCU's plot in movies, and especially how the fight scenes sort of drive that plot.
I love the MCU. I don't love it like I used to, which is kind of inevitable, not only just growing up, but as the MCU kind of has to branch out and change in order to retain fans and make new ones. Fights. There are some really, really great ones. There are some duds. I think most of the movies tend to have a good one or two. There are very few of the films that I've seen MCU that don't have a good fight or two, but some of them are like so good on both levels, story and choreography and all that, that you can see where other ones are lacking. So I'm excited to talk about this. There were plenty of lists about this, and this is where I am gonna, so I had that realization we're doing a fight scenes thing early on. But I do think it's important to talk about battles as well in the MCU. Mm-hmm. So not just the fight scenes, but like the big battles. That is technically a fight, I would suppose. And they're a big part of what made the MCU the MCU. Like, yeah, we knew that they were connected because Nick Fury showed up at the end of every movie. But it didn't feel quite so real until the first Avengers happened.
Yeah.
And the first Avengers is really bookended by the Battle of New York at the end. So starting with this list, it's What Nerds, the MCU's 10 Best Fight Scenes and Battle Sequences. I'm doing the top nine because I don't want to talk about Doctor Strange. Number nine, Thor versus Hulk. Number eight, The Guardians versus Ego. And number seven, Wenwu versus Shang-Chi.
So Thor versus Hulk in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
You know, I love the movie Ragnarok. I was let down by the Thor versus Hulk fight. Just because Planet Hulk did it so much better, and Planet Hulk had my dude Beta Ray Bill in it. Even though Beta Ray Bill got absolutely demolished in his fight. But still, my guy was in it. So the Thor versus Hulk one, I don't even think it's the best fight in that movie. I think when Thor fights Fenrir, there's just a lot of good comedic fighting in that movie. That's not even my favorite fight in that movie, but it's a decent fight. I saw Shang-Chi pop up on every list, multiple times on every list. It seems like this was the movie with the best actual choreographed fights. I'll tell you right now, that movie was so boring. I do not remember these fights. I can remember the situation, but I don't remember the fights.
I don't know if it was when me, you, and LaRon were just talking recently or we were playing D&D, but you mentioned you didn't even like finish the film.
No.
You would have even seen this fight.
I remember the fight on the bus. I remember his fight with, I think it was the Eternal.
I don't know. Are you ever going to watch it, or do you care about spoilers?
Oh, I don't care about spoilers. I'll probably watch it again, but I don't care about spoilers.
They're like on the back of a dragon during this fight. I have pretty high standards for
if it spits the story. If it like
it does,
like if it's like moves the plot along and stuff. I don't know. Shang-Chi was just so boring to me, and it was like I just don't remember most of it. I remember that they fight in some underground thing, and the Abomination has like a little cameo there. I think that was Shang-Chi. But so all of the bigger point that I was making is that I saw some lists that had top tens, and Shang-Chi was 4 out of the top 10. Bit outrageous to me, but it does seem like for a boring movie that I didn't like very much, the choreography was top notch, because they famously used all stunt actors and no CGI for the fights and stuff. You know, they were actually fighting on the back of a real dragon. It wasn't a CGI dragon, famously.
Most expensive MCU movie to date. Those dragons take nothing but a pile of gold. That's all they want. A pile of gold and treasure.
Talk number about six, greedy.
Number six, T'Challa versus Killmonger, the first fight. Number five, Avengers versus Avengers at the airport in Civil War. Number four, the Battle of Titan.
People don't like Civil War. Do you like Civil War, Cam?
I like the movie better than I like the fights. No, actually, I like the movie better than I like that particular fight.
Yeah.
I think it's a good movie.
Lots of people don't like it. Like, and
it is a little stupid.
I loved it. I loved it, and I loved all the fights and stuff. I love this fight. A fight from Civil War will pop up on my list, but it won't be this one.
Yeah, so I love Civil War. This fight, you know, to me, when you have Avengers versus Avengers, I would wish that they would come up with a more interesting setting than an airport. That's just me. I like, if it's going to be spectacle, I want real spectacle. I don't want it being at a boring airport. I want it, and I know, like, plot wise, it's supposed to be abandoned and all that, but
yeah,
and it's still cool and fun things happen, but it's like a kid playing with toys type fun things. Which
I think that's what I love about this fight, though, is the kid playing with toys. And this fight has so many introductions and stuff that it was just really, really cool to watch. I can remember every detail of this fight far more than I can remember any detail of Shang-Chi.
So I would say there are at least like three much better, more interesting action sequences in the movie. And just mentioning one that's not going to make it is the Black Panther chase scene. Our first real look at Black Panther is so thrilling and interesting. Yeah. Another one is, you know, the whole thing where Cap is in the, he's looking for, or no, he's like, he's in the apartment with Sharon and all that stuff's going down.
In all like really, Latvia really. Or something.
Yeah, I think that's like, it doesn't have the pure spectacle of the airport fight. The airport fight's not bad. I think it's pretty memorable. I just prefer other parts of the movie. And one other part I prefer a lot more. So,
it was my second. I don't know. People sleep on Civil War, dude, because it was so memorable to me. I loved and still love that movie. What were the other ones mentioned? We were focusing on Civil War. I forgot the rest of the list there.
T'Challa versus Killmonger and the Battle of Titan. To me, those are titans. Like, those are great, great fights, both of them.
Yeah, and Battle of Titan, for those who get all of the Infinity Saga, the two parts mixed together, that's where they first really confront Thanos on a broken Titan, and it's the one that, spoiler alert, ends with Peter Quill punching him in the face and everybody being mad that his character wouldn't be that. He's been so savvy and so smart through this whole series and not emotionally unstable. As you can tell, I'd support Peter Quill punching him in the face. I think that was totally in character. It wasn't a good move, but it was in character.
No, it's a perfect character moment. I agree with you. This one is one of the ones that made my honorable mention, I'll say outright. But it is fantastic. Like, it's, I really wanted to limit myself this time, and I have five picks, and I can't choose between one. So we'll see which one drops. And then I have four honorable mentions, and that's one
also,
of the...
Also, really quick about it, too. This is the best Doctor Strange has ever been in the MCU, period. He's never been cooler than this fight. None of his movies are better than him in this fight, period. I know that Cam skipped over Doctor Strange at the beginning of the... I don't even know which Doctor Strange fight they would pick. I didn't actually like Multiverse of Madness very much. And as far as the fight,
it was him versus Dormammu.
Oh, Oh, get out. Really?
Yeah.
That one out of that's terrible. That's a bad pick.
I regret to say I have a pick with Doctor Strange in it on my list.
Huh?
It's probably gonna make it. We'll see if it's this one or a different one. Top three. Oh, and T'Challa vs. Killmonger is great too. But top three, the Spider-Man Unite, number three. Number two, I think they called it the Battle for Earth. I just called it Avengers Assemble from Endgame. And number one, Iron Man versus Cap.
In Civil War.
Yes.
It's funny because Winter Soldier's definitely in that. It's Cap and Winter Soldier versus Iron Man, I think, in
Yeah,
that final fight.
I think like, well, yeah, it is both of them the whole time, yeah.
And it's a big part of the story in this the setup for it too. So, but fair enough. I mean, it was Civil War is Iron Man versus Captain America, so I can understand that. But
Yeah.
yeah, those are great picks. Yeah, it's hard to not do battles in the MCU. That's one thing I have,
So I
but
actually disagree. I think some of the battles for me are best when it's not like it's a battle of maybe, let's say, six Avengers versus a bunch of other people or 10 Avengers. I don't love the huge battles where it's 100 Avengers versus however many other people. And we'll see where that goes as far as the overall, both of our lists. And I actually don't not like them. That's unfair.
I don't dislike them either. I was saying that to make this point. I don't actually have a big battle on mine at all.
Okay, so yeah, I don't have the one that made my honorable mention that I would call a big battle is the Avengers Assemble one at the end of Endgame on your left. To me, it is a cool battle. But what I see it as, what it really reminds me of, if you've ever read big Marvel comics, like event comics, oftentimes they're almost always, they're going to have at least, one set of pages that's like a huge, full spread, like a color spread or a big spread. I don't know. I'm thinking of it in the terms of manga, but I don't know what it's called, but just like a
Like a
huge
poster.
two-page spread,
Yeah.
essentially. And it'll be like a bunch of things happening at once, and I'll spend 10 minutes looking at every
Yeah.
single little action part that's happening, and it's a whole lot of fun. But it never, nothing that's happening ever has the full impact that one page focused on two characters and something amazing happening during that page would have. Like, for instance, when Captain America actually died, way
Right.
back, like 10 years ago or whatever that was. It never feels like that. And that's kind of how I felt with Avengers Endgame, the end battle. Now, the first part, the what we remember is before those, we remember them showing up. That whole part of the scene is amazing with him, Sam in Cap's ear saying on your left, and then Black Panther walking through the portal really for the last time. And then we remember before that when they're fight when it's Cap, Iron Man and Thor going at Thanos, and Cap picks up Mjolnir. But what I remember most from like the actual battle when everybody comes up, and there's lots of cool moments. It's not saying it's not good. It's really well done. I think it works perfectly for the movie and what they're trying to do. Only thing that doesn't is what I don't remember is the Girl Unite scene, which is the most pandering, what
Yeah.
is it? It's like the most patronizing scene I can possibly think of. But like overall, I think the scene works really well. It just, for me, action scenes should have moments that really, really stand out. Fight scenes should have moments that we remember, or it should tell some story about these characters that can only be told through violence and through the fight. And I don't think this really does that, but I still think it's great for what it is. But what it isn't is like an action masterpiece.
Totally. I think the same thing, but Marvel does a really good job of giving us these big action set pieces, but also bookending them with moments, right? And so you don't I don't actually remember a lot of the moments in the middle. I remember it being cool, but that whole moment, you didn't even mention the part of it that's most memorable to me. It's the Captain America facing the entire evil universe by himself. He's got no backup at all in that moment. He just straps on his shield and he does the "I can do this all day" line. And that's the moment that I'm like, I'll always remember that for the rest of my life. And then they all come in and stuff, and those are great moments too. But yeah, as far as, it's just hard to make a big battle with a bunch of good, like, great memorable moments all the way through, because there's just so much going on. And that's the closest big battle to making my list was actually the attack on New York from the first Avengers. That was the closest big combined battle to making my list. It makes the top of my honorable mention. I don't think it made your list.
So it's, I'm deciding right now whether it makes it or not.
Well, let's give it a second. Cause
it's one of the five.
So, right. So I'll go with my first actual pick after we talked about all that. And my first actual pick, since we had touched on it, the moment in Civil War that was the coolest, but also the most story-driven, character-building moment in the whole Civil War movie, to me, was actually the chase scene. And that's the one that makes my list, where Black Panther is chasing Winter Soldier.
Nice.
That, first off, Marvel doesn't do a lot of chase scenes at all. And so this is one of the only chase scenes that I truly remember. And going into this Civil War, just in the moment of reality, we all knew that they're introducing Black Panther. We're all somewhat skeptical about how they're going to do Black Panther, because it's sort of, we had never seen anything quite like Black Panther in the MCU. Like, the closest thing that we had seen to it would have been Batman, where he's technologically advanced and he's also on Captain America's level of athleticism and fighting prowess and all of this, you know. And we see him as a politician for the first moments of the movie, and, you know, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. But there was, in that moment, doubt whether he was going to be a good Black Panther. Looking back on it, it's insane that we doubted that.
No, right? I didn't doubt him. Everybody,
right,
wanted,
right.
Everybody, but, no, I have to say this, Cody. I have to say it. Everyone, including you, wanted Idris Elba.
I did.
And I was like, you guys need to see this Chadwick Boseman guy. For like years before it was announced, I was like, Chadwick Boseman needs to be Black Panther. And I was just sitting back there like, I finally got my wish. It's not really, but if this was my world, if I was the main character, the karma from me getting Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther would be Benedict Cumberbutt being Stephen Strange.
Yeah. No, I'll give you all the props in the world, because I did want Idris Elba. And even in that moment where you're seeing him as a politician, maybe not you, Cam, but I feel like most everybody was still skeptical. Like, how is this dude going to be? Because he's not, you know, he's a fit dude, but like, comparing him to the first time we see Chris Evans as Captain America with the shirt off and he's like giant, you're sort of thinking, he's a little bit normal looking. Now, he's in robes and stuff, so it doesn't do him justice. After the death of his father in that scene where he gets a hold of Bucky, and first off, the action sequence is not really like anything that I had seen in Marvel yet. It was a full chase scene with them you know, him running down a motorcycle and vehicles on foot. And it's like, as soon as that scene gets going, you immediately are like, oh, this dude is on their level. And one of the hard things about like sequels and trequels is sort of this, you have to kind of do better than what you did before. And they tend to get larger than life and totally eclipse themselves and get out of hand. This was one of those perfect moments where every single thing of it was believable. We've seen Captain America do stuff like this. We've just not really seen other people do it to his level. And T'Challa definitely has this level after the buildup to it. Plus several different really awesome action moments with him on the hood of the car. Obviously, Bucky literally catches a motorcycle with one hand, twirls it around and jumps on it and rides it. And it's like, you know, I think the thing that I love the most about Marvel is sort of the believability of this these unbelievable physics that we're seeing. Like, there was something about that motorcycle scene that made you think, you know, if I do a couple more bench presses a week, I could probably do that, you know, but it's incredible, let alone the storytelling where you see the rage of T'Challa. And this is T'Challa's character that I had known, the unrelenting rage of this character for stuff with his family. And you see Bucky as sort of the secondhand victim. Looking in hindsight, he's done nothing wrong and he's running for his life, but nobody believes him. And then you see all in this scene, Captain America choosing his friend over his logic, but being really torn. And you don't have any villains. Nobody's in the wrong in that moment of the movie. It's just, to me, it's a masterpiece of an action chase scene. It's a masterpiece of storytelling through the lens of violence and action. And then, oh yeah, the quips that happen during that are just, it's my favorite Black Panther line. When at the end of it, he's like, what did he say? I don't remember the quip anymore, but he says something like, I'm the superpowered prince of Wakanda. How long do you think you can keep your friend from me? And yeah. I was like, I was so hyped after that moment. It's still to this day the singular moment from Civil War that stands out in my head more than any other. And this is, you know, even with a absolute pitch perfect final fight between Iron Man, Cap, and Winter Soldier, I still think about that chase scene more than anything else in that movie.
Yeah, this is a great scene. I mentioned it before. It hadn't come to mind, and I think even with your explaining why it made your list, I'd probably pick the Cap and Bucky versus Iron Man fight instead, which is on my honorable mention. It didn't make my list, but I love the emotional resonance of that fight. But yeah, I mean, this is like our first real look at Black Panther, and he totally delivers. It reminds me of Black Panther in like really good cartoons. Like whenever he first shows up in a cartoon and he's against the Avengers and stuff, I think a good example is Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is fantastic. He's very much like that, but he gets the benefit of being acted by a human that's really, really good at acting and capable of showing the type of anger that is hard to show to the same effect in cartoons. So yeah, this is a fantastic scene. Again, this is why I didn't even consider the airport scene, because I'm like, there are two better action scenes in the movie, at least. So hats off to that pick. I am still deciding. I think, man, I don't know. Avengers, original Avengers. Yeah, it's got to make my list. I mean, I think it's, of the big battle scenes, the one that we remember the most. It's so much just like the brand of the Avengers. when they go back in Endgame, they go back to that pose. You see them posing in that same way. That pose is so iconic when they're doing the play in which one of the shows was it? Hawkeye. They're doing a little play in the Hawkeye show. They show that little pose. And every single one of the Avengers gets a cool action scene that shows why they're there, why they're an Avenger, why they're one of Earth's mightiest heroes. And they're like super iconic scenes, like Thor using his hammer to go through that freaking worm whale thing. Loki trying to talk to Hulk and Hulk just slamming him back and forth and back and forth. Captain America saving people as only Captain America can. And Iron Man, of course, being the one that saves the day at the very end and is able to stop the Chitauri from coming back, getting the ire of Thanos in return. It's certainly been beat in spectacle, but like this is more than the movie itself. This is the proof that we had that this thing was going to work. This was the scene that we saw and we're like, I guess we have to go watch this movie another two or three times. And if you were our age at that time and into this, you probably went and saw the movie two or three more times. I know we did. I saw it probably twice more at school, and then I went back and watched it with my mom back at home as well. And it's, you know, like it's like the building block. This scene is what built the MCU. It was what built this thing that we're doing a list about over 10 years later. I mean, I could see myself not having it in there, but not really, because it is such like this is what made us.
Yeah, this is the absolute top of my honorable mentions. And one thing that I want to touch on, because Cam touched on most everything that I could say about it. Where the other big battles will beat it in spectacle, this one has way more memorable moments sort of seeded all the way through it. And you get each Avengers moment, but you also get these moments like Captain America giving everybody their duties. And he finally gets to Hulk and he's like, Hulk. And the Hulk turns and looks at him and he's like, smash. And then he jumps up on the wall and he's just like destroying them. I can remember that like it was yesterday seeing it, let alone to me the greatest Hulk moment in any of the cinematic movies, where now it's sort of a stupid line looking back at all they've done to the Hulk. But when Banner's like, you asked me how I keep the Hulk down, and he's like, it's not that I'm never angry, I'm always angry. And then he turns and like controls the Hulk and turns into it and punches the giant space worm. That's like, if we do Marvel moments, that's probably in my goat more of Marvel moments, because there's just so many good moments. Honestly, the Hulk is so strong in that when I think of all the moments, because even to the point where Tony Stark falls back out of the wormhole down to Earth and everybody thinks he's dead, and then the Hulk grabs him and screams in his face and he's like it's so good, and it's littered with these moments that we'll remember forever. And you know, I had truly never seen anything like that before in my life, especially to that magnitude.
And you know, this is the first moment they really all get together fighting together for the same cause. Like this is the MCU. Before that, it was just Nick Fury showing up in movies, and I think Black Widow showed up in like Iron Man 2. But this is like the MCU actually manifesting as a singular product.
Yeah, it's even to the point of Black Widow and Hawkeye getting their moments in it as well. Everybody gets a beat. And it's so good. The Chitauri are actually like, I look back and they still are so believable as alien creatures to me, even with the CGI being like a little bit older now, but
But here's the thing. This is the thing that really kind of convinces me, like, okay, there was an extent to where I was disappointed back then that it was like the Chitauri instead of the Skrull or the whoever, the Skree or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
But I recognized them as the Chitauri in the original Marvel's The Avengers. I didn't realize until today that it was the Chitauri in Endgame.
Yeah.
It's the same people, but they are like so much less. They feel like such less of a threat because there's so many Avengers there. They just kind of exist to be destroyed as opposed to being a true force of legitimate power that seem like a threat to the Earth.
It's also all of those huge moments in that first Avengers fight for New York became redone over and over in the second phase of Marvel, like wormholes opening and the aliens and stuff like that. But think to the moment, that's the first time we ever saw like a real like wormhole open in a Marvel one, and the space worms come out, those space whales or whatever come out of it, and it's like, like that, up until that point we're just sort of fighting Loki, and to be fair, Loki is a great villain for his own thing, but he'd never seemed like a universal threat to all of the Avengers. And then those worms come out of the sky, and you really have that moment of, are they actually going to be able to like pull this off? Like, that's a lot of giant space worm whales and Chitauri all over the place. But yeah, I really wanted to include it on my list, but it feels wrong to not include it. But yeah, it's the top of my honorable mentions. It's such a hard one to leave off. I have another hard cut that I'm gonna have to do, but I'm not sure how I'm gonna be able to do it. But I'll go with my next for sure one. And since we talked about the final fight of Endgame, I actually, my favorite action sequence of that movie is right before it, where Thanos fights Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man all at the same time. That's my next pick.
That's a great pick, not on my list. I did mention it when we were talking about like where Endgame falls short, because like to me that's the memorable part of the movie, is that, not, you know, the stuff that happens after.
And again, they turn these giant battles into spectacle. But I guess other than the first Avengers one, what made me pick these smaller scenes over and over again was the storytelling laid out through the whole thing. And this is a perfect, to me, it's a perfectly choreographed story, because it emulates the first time that we see Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man all together anyway, where they fight in the woods for the first time. And the choreography mirrors and mimics that first fight extremely well, except for the fact that they're all on the same team now, and they're all fighting Thanos instead of fighting each other. And so it's a really cool like throwback to that first memorable fight scene where Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man all meet each other and fight each other for the first time. But it is littered with these moments where it was like, obviously you had mentioned, it culminates into a moment that we have been waiting years for. Somebody other than Thor or Vision lifting the hammer, knowing the fact that it had to be Steve Rogers someday, and Steve Rogers, Captain America, being able to call Mjolnir and fight with Mjolnir. But it just, for comic book lovers, it was just absolutely littered with all these comic book moments. You have the moment where you first really get to see War Thor from what's that series called when Thor loses his arm?
Thor, God of Thunder?
I think it's is it Thor God of Thunder? Anyway, so. The War Thor, where he holds the axe hammer and goes with the long hair and the long beard and stuff. And then you have Iron Man showing off not just all his abilities, but it's a really good fight where you get to see Iron Man learning from past mistakes when you go back through and watch this fight. And his suit's being built to sort of learn from all his past mistakes. But yeah, it's just Thanos with the Darth Maul double-sided blade, and the action is just electric. It's so action-packed, but it's such a good moment where you get to see these three, after all these years, coming together to fight the biggest threat. And it's sort of like, you know, this is Marvel's big three, right? This is the three that have always carried Marvel. Every single phase, these guys got their own movies every single time. And it was just a super fulfilling fight, but also an incredibly well done and action-packed fight where you have a big push and pull the whole time. Thanos is whipping on them, they're whipping on Thanos, he's whipping on them again, and it's just, it helps build this sort of ultimate peak villain that Thanos became. And this is like that moment where he really shows off. I mean, he obviously has that one moment where he just beats the crap out of Hulk and just beats the Hulk until he turns into Bruce Banner. That's his like introduction, but this is really his introduction as like, oh, he is truly unstoppable when it comes to just pure combat. So it was just an awesome fight, let alone it opened the door to the big ending fight that we got.
Yeah, this is a great one. This one didn't make my list, but like everything you said, what again really impresses me is how strong they're able to make Thanos look in this fight, but also that they're able to give us those, really the Mjolnir moment is worth the price. It could suck and it could be worth admission for having Cap finally pick up Mjolnir and it feeling right and feeling like he's worthy for it in that moment when he needs it the most. And ending, like you said, with that scene where he, not like you said, he's like, I still got it in me. He only has half a shield. At this point, half of his shield is torn. And, you know, if you know the comics, the promise is that his shield is unbreakable. Whatever happened to it, like, it can't be stopped. It absorbs all impact and all that. Shield half broken after fighting with Mjolnir and everything. And Thanos is just a dog, man. He's a dog.
Yeah.
So, great scene. Maybe the most impressive, like, singular action scene in the MCU. It could be. I saw Shang-Chi, and I don't think, like, I guess that would be like the action scenes that people would say are more fundamentally interesting and well choreographed, but I don't really agree. I think that this utilizes the superhero genre in movies to make a fight about a super freaking bad man versus the Earth's three most powerful detectives seem legitimate, which is doing something.
Yeah.
So for my next pick, and I'm still deciding what I still haven't picked exactly what's going to go, but I know it's going to stay. This is the one that's not in the movies. This is my MCU pick that's outside of the movies. It is one of the newer slate of MCU shows over the last like 3 years or so. And it's probably the least heralded show. It's actually made one of my lists before, not this particular fight, a different one. And maybe this is the one that should have made it. But overall, oh man, this is hard. The action, and I probably changed my mind after watching the episode again. The action in episode 9 of What If, Marvel What If, the Guardians of the Multiverse versus Ultron is just incredible. I could have also done the Watcher versus Ultron. Both of those are just like Marvel doing what we'll probably eventually see something like in the movies, but I doubt it'll be as good as this is. So who are the Guardians of the Multiverse? Captain Carter, that's Peggy Carter with Captain America's powers and shield. T'Challa as Star-Lord. Killmonger as the Black Panther. Supreme Doctor Strange, this is the list where he had to be in it. Black Widow with a motorcycle. Gamora and Party Thor. And they are relentless going against Ultron. So what I'm picking this over really is the Titan battle, the Battle of Titan, because they're very similar, except for they're fighting a mix of Ultron and Vision with the Infinity Stones. And they are able to get one of them away from him, so he's not all powerful, and they have a machine that can destroy all of them if they can stop him. And they're just relentless, hitting him over and over and over and over again in the head with everything they have. Shield hit, whatever. Until he's like, wait, I have Infinity Stones. And he uses the Time Stone to basically slow down time. And the Infinity Stone that they were able to get away from him, he reaches towards it. And I hate to say it, but Doctor Strange in this, he basically, like, this is a super powerful Doctor Strange, and he's able to reach into whatever region that Eldritch beings come from, and tentacles, Eldritch tentacles just burst out, not constrained by the Time Stone at all, and are able to take this Ultron and basically pin him to the ground and get control back, stop the Time Stone, and they're able to use that machine to hopefully destroy the Infinity Stones. Now, I said hopefully, so what you know is it doesn't work because it was created for a certain set of Infinity Stones and not all of them. And what that means is that he has to be put down still. But, you know, they get back to fighting, and Doctor Strange essentially is able to protect them from just pure destruction. And he's like, I have to kill this guy. And so they go to kill him. He goes to kill him. Doctor Strange is protecting. And Peggy Carter and Black Widow kind of go off on their own. And what they do, they find, and it's this artifact that's been in a couple episodes, but it's like not an artifact. It is a arrow with a virus on it. And the virus is from Arnim Zola. She goes up this building, shoots off of it with her motorcycle. Peggy goes from another building, jumps on the Ultron while he's shooting the beam, takes off his helmet, and while she's doing that, Black Widow shoots the arrow, and with, like, because this is a universe where Hawkeye died instead of Black Widow, and so she shoots that arrow and hits him right in the eye, and Arnim Zola invades him. So Ultron's on the ground. The scene's not over. Who's going to take over? Who's going to screw them? Of course, Killmonger Black Panther takes the Infinity Stone for himself and tries to seduce them all. Like, we can save the universe with this, y'all. We deserve the power. The Watcher made us do this, but we deserve to be able to use this power to save our universes. And they're like, nah, of course, because they're all heroes, especially T'Challa. And then Ultron gets up with Arnim Zola in them, or more like a Vision Zola, because T'Challa or Killmonger has the Ultron suit on him essentially, and they start battling for the stones. And Stephen Strange realizes this was what they wanted to get to in the first place, is the body of Ultron and Vision separated and controlled by two separate beings. And he traps them in time, in basically like a time shell. And so they're eternally in battle over the Infinity Stones. It's a brilliant freaking scene. It's like 10 minutes or so. I really encourage you to watch it. I'd usually try not to explain the entirety of a scene, but, like, this has everything I like. Powers, crazy action, relentless attacks, a super powerful villain, and a twist at the end that is, like, a perfect character moment for one of the best, if not the best, villain in the MCU, with, or at least the most empathetic. Because even at that point, I'm like, maybe he has a point. If all these universes are effed up, maybe we should let Killmonger, you know, use these Infinity Stones to fix it. No. This is the MCU, and that's not going to happen, but it's incredible to me.
Michael B. Jordan as Dr. Doom.
Ooh.
When I was thinking of T'Challa, Black Panther in this moment, it has whiffs of Doctor Doom, of the self-centeredness of Doom wanting to rebuild the universe in his image, but he's also doing it to save it and make it better. Just whiffs of it. Yeah, no, it's a great scene. Great moment for Doctor Strange to the Eldritch tentacles, because it's one of those things that it's like, how do you always think, how do you stop the Infinity Stones? From the moment that we were sort of introduced to them, it's like a hard thing to comprehend. How would you even beat this thing if it controls time? And Doom take allowing creatures from a different dimension with the different ruling on time is how he defeats it. It's a really good, clever way of doing that. But yeah, it's spectacular. It is in my honorable mentions. It is not the TV show one that I chose. And Cam knows the one that I chose because I love this fight scene. This is probably my favorite TV fight scene of all time, let alone MCU fight scene of all time. It is defining of the character. It introduces us to this character, and it does a spectacular job of holding the character to sort of the canon of the comic books, and that is in the Daredevil Netflix TV series. And the fight is the hallway fight, where we get introduced to Daredevil, his fighting style and stuff. To start on it, the cinematics of like the first, well, sort of all of the Daredevil TV shows is like, is so beautiful with its choreography and its color schemes. It's very John Wick-esque, and it's also very comic book style, and this is no different. You have this hallway lit by greens and yellows, and it's sort of weird, oddly looking, and everybody is vaguely silhouetted, but you know Daredevil because he's got his, at this point, his mask over his head, but it's just like a cloth. And he's in this hallway full of bad guys, and he just proceeds to beat the ever living crap out of these bad guys. But it is much more than just him beating down a bunch of bad guys. It is very revealing in the way that it's shot and the way that it's choreographed of the character of Daredevil, not just in this moment, but period. So the major defining trait of Daredevil, other than him not being able to see, is very much like Spider-Man. It's his willpower. It's his will to always come back to fight through it. But Daredevil, unlike Spider-Man, doesn't really have huge superpowers. And this was the cool thing about this TV series and sort of all of the Defender TV series once they released it, is at this point in time, Marvel had became cosmic in scope and became very larger than life. The really cool thing about this Defenders series versus the MCU cinematic is at this point in time, the MCU cinematic movies had become grandiose and cosmic in scope. And the lens had gotten really, really big. But the thing that Marvel historically has always done better than DC is sort of doing street level, boots on the ground superheroes, your everyday Spider-Man type superheroes. And Daredevil became the face of that because of the fact that he does not have superpowers that emulate a Norse god of thunder or a multimillionaire Tony Stark with a superhuman suit or even Captain America's superhuman powers. He is basically a regular guy, probably a little more athletic than most humans. And he's blind, but his other senses are enhanced. But he teaches himself how to fight, essentially. And in this moment, you really get to see the struggle of somebody who is not endowed with superhuman powers. And it is a brutal, animalistic, exhausting fight. And it is so cool to me because it's the way that they shot this fight scene. It's all in one take. They have no cuts. They have no jump cuts. And so you get to see the real time of this fight as he fights these dudes and he hurts them. And then they get up for more. And by the end of it, everybody is sort of crawling on each other, hardly able to throw punches. They're exhausted. It's 10 minutes of fighting. And it just makes it so real. If you went out and for 10 minutes straight fought 10 people at the same time doing flip kicks and stuff, you wouldn't even be able to stand after it. But it gets to a really interesting point where you can see that he's tired, but he's not going to give up and he pushes through. And that's sort of the mainstay of this Daredevil character, is sort of like Spider-Man, of a willpower to just push through for good, for the greater good. And it's so well shown in this fight scene where you can just see he whips up on two guys and he thinks he's done, and here comes another one. And now he's got to fight this dude, but he's not really able to jump anymore. He's been beaten up too. And by the end of it, you are as tired watching it as he is finished. It also pairs with one of my favorite movies of all time, Old Boy, that has a hallway fight scene that this is obviously an homage to that fight scene, where it is very brutal, and you know, the sort of kung fu-ness of it is extremely high. He's doing these spin kicks and stuff, but by the end of it, he's not doing any of that stuff anymore. He can't keep it up, and he is just brawling, and he's just trying to figure out how to keep these guys down. And he's not in his fancy suit yet. It's just an unbelievable introduction to the TV show that I think had the best fight scenes of any TV show that I've ever seen. That's the one thing that I always remember about this Daredevil series, is how well choreographed these fight scenes were. And so this fight scene, to kick it all off, it was just absolutely perfect. And it's just, I love it so much as like a piece of art.
I can't believe it was like 10 years ago or something close to that this came out. It feels like yesterday. But this was like the scene where you're like, holy crap, this is what they're going for. This is what street level can look like in the MCU, and kind of officially in the MCU now that they decided, well, I guess we're going to, you know, accept Charlie Cox's Daredevil and the Kingpin into the MCU. So this isn't going to make my list, but it's in the running and probably on another list that I've already worked for and that we're going to do in the future. And it's just as phenomenal as Cody has talked about. And it's, you know, the probably, if I'm just thinking to it, by far the best of the live action MCU TV shows from a fight perspective. And just again, how it utilizes just the willpower of Daredevil and utilizes that whole, is it like one take?
Yeah, it's one take.
Yeah, the one take design style for doing a fight. It's really clever in how it does it. It's really entertaining, but it's also kind of hard to watch at times because, you know, if it was me or you, we might die after, not just from the fight, but just like after the fight.
Without even taking blows, you know, that amount of flipping around and stuff. It's just so real. And it's funny to say that to superhero movies and stuff. I do think that Marvel has done, for the most part, a pretty good job of making more believable scenarios and stuff. But this by far was the most realistic one, where you're just like, you know, this is the first time that you watch a fight scene and you really go, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, the opposite of the motorcycle flip, where it's so believable and so smooth that you're like, I mean, if the motorcycle is moving right and I got a little lift on it, maybe I could do that. No, you couldn't. It would rip your arm off. But watching Charlie Cox just be absolutely exhausted after this fight, that's the way it would be in real life, you know?
This is not something I'd want to do, and it's the definitive scene in the Marvel Netflix cinematic universe or whatever it's called at this point. I'm very curious how this new Daredevil's gonna be. I hope it's good. I hope they don't compromise much of what it was. And Daredevil was the series that didn't need the reboot as much as Iron Fist did. That was
Yeah.
kind of butt. Especially from a choreography sense. So we'll see what happens. For my next pick, I am going to go with, and this is hard. I think I'm going to go with the Spider-Men versus the Sinister Five. Three Spider-Men versus Electro, the Lizard, Sandman, Green Goblin, and Doc Ock. So to me, Spider-Man 2 is still a top, is still a Mount Goatmore superhero movie of all time, and Spider-Man 1 kind of proves its worth almost through this movie. I don't like the first two MCU Spider-Man movies. I don't think they were very good. I think they do things well, the first one especially. Vulture's a really effective villain, and that moment with him and Peter is fantastic, but I don't like them. I don't think they understood Spider-Man that well, and this is the movie where it's like, okay, they understand Spider-Man so much that they make an effective film around three Spider-Men with a fantastic action sequence that proves, and I'm pretty sure this was going through my head when I watched it. It was definitely going through my head when I watched Across the Spider-Verse. But when you have a good Spider-Man movie, and if you're like me, you will be thinking halfway through, Spider-Man's obviously the best superhero. From like an action standpoint, I think he's the best, period. But from like making action movies, that standpoint, Spider-Man is perfect. He is limits and strength, and that's what you need. You need a hero that can do a lot, that can be acrobatic, that can fly into the air, that can be super strong and hit hard, but doesn't hit too hard, isn't too strong, can't fly anywhere he wants, has some limits to his flight with his web, has web slingers that are effective, but can't, like, in the fight, can't just kill a guy. And using those limits with three Spider-Men and five super powerful villains created a masterpiece and created, the sequel that especially the Amazing Spider-Man fans, but really even the Tobey Spider-Mans, we wanted a little bit of conclusiveness to these characters. And I think maybe even more than those two Spider-Men needing a better conclusion, to me at least, Tom Holland's Spider-Man need to actually become Spider-Man. His character really needed to get to the point where he had to live the ethos of with great power comes great responsibility, and this movie saw that. But just about that fight scene, so it's these guys are really, really powerful, and they have to work together, they have to plan together, and we get to see things like Andrew Garfield, who's his Spider-Man, I'll call him the realer Spider-Man. The realer Spider-Man lost Gwen Stacy and gets to avenge her loss by saving the fake Spider-Man's MJ. And the realist Spider-Man gets to kind of save Doc Ock and gets to finally save Green Goblin, the man he killed years prior. He gets to save not only the Green Goblin from being killed at the hands of fake Peter, but the realist Peter gets to save the fake Peter from becoming somebody he didn't want to be, somebody that he had experienced being when he was in the black suit. And there's so much flipping around, web powers at the perfect, precise time. And just it's so satisfying on every aspect, story, action, and just drama in general. So I think this lived up to the hype. Hard to imagine it being better. And hard to imagine it working so well with any other superhero.
I agree with all of this. This was the other hardest one to keep off of my list. It did not make my list, but it's again, you said it exactly. It's sort of perfect. You can even overlook some of the, it's just chocked full of these cookies and these like little Easter eggs from the previous ones. Like the fact that Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, since the first film that he filmed, they were trying to figure out a way to get him to fight the lizard. Like that was Sam Raimi's dream Spider-Man villain was the lizard, and it never happened. And in this sequence, he goes one-on-one with the lizard from Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. And so it's just so full of like these little Easter eggs. We have three iterations of Spider-Man, all with different things that missed and different things that they didn't get to do, different things that didn't come together. It is, the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, God, I should have put this on my list. Because it's almost like our actual universe came together for this to be a perfect movie. You know, like the failure of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man helps this sequence be so good because of his redemption that he never got in real life. We were all rooting for him. That he's the only thing that I liked out of that first Spider-Man set of movies. And his redemption saving Mary Jane at the end was amazing. The redemption of all of the villains were amazing. I have one big complaint about that whole movie in general. Jamie's Fox character just goes to another universe and becomes cool somehow. Like, I've just never understood that from the start, that he is this crazy, weird, dorky dude in the Andrew Garfield universe, but then he comes to this universe and now he's actually Jamie Foxx and he's a cool guy. So that's the one complaint. But yeah,
Green Goblin's so good. He's so good in this scene too. He doesn't come into the end, and it's like, and one thing I didn't mention is the whole point, like, they could probably beat these guys more easily, but they don't want to beat them. They want to save them. They right. have to save them in very particular ways. So they're able to do this with all of them, especially because Doc Ock helps. He's the first one they're able to save, and he helps them. They're able to beat the guys. And Green Goblin comes out of nowhere and is like, whoopsie, chaos time. I'm effing everything up.
Yeah,
Doctor Strange comes. He F's up Doctor Strange. He basically is about to tear apart the universe because he believes in strength over all. And the other two Peters have their problem with him. Tobey Maguire, I'd say it's really complicated with. But fake Peter is just like, you killed my aunt. And he just goes after him. And he's like, okay, this is something they haven't really done much in Spider-Man. They show him going like full force, like, if he had popped his head off with a punch, I would have believed it. He's just beating the crap out of him. It's not even close. And even as he's doing it, Green Goblin is still talking smack. And he's like, it was your fault. I did it, but you were the reason she was there. And it's just so perfect. Again, realist Spider-Man saves him from killing Green Goblin, and then he stabs realist Spider-Man in the back, literally stabs him in the back, and you know, then he's cured. But it's like, golly, a good villain. And this has been one of the running themes in this list, is that a great villain can really make a fight and a battle sequence so much better.
And shout out to Tobey Maguire, the actual Spider-Man. I wish we would have gotten more of that series. But
I wonder how he would have done Vulture, because that's what he wanted to do next. That was why there was such a, I think they wanted to do like three villains again, and he just wanted to do Vulture, Sam Raimi.
Yeah, I mean, the studio is getting too involved anyway. But Yeah, so this one didn't make my list, but it didn't make my list because I have my actual favorite action scene of all the MCU up next. Ooh. Could you guess what movie it's from, Cam?
No.
I think you could. It is from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
One, the prison escape scene. This is my favorite action piece of Marvel, period. It is the reason why I don't care what studio gives James Gunn total control. He deserves all of it just for the brilliance of this, of the prison escape scene. Again, a type of Marvel movie action scene that we don't see a lot of, and I don't think we had ever really seen before. You have the vagabond crew that barely knows each other, and by the end of it, they come together and they're actually like a crew. They have to help each other out. They break out of this prison, but in a way that is like, it's just so James Gunn. You know, everything about it was stylish. He took moments to have corny B-reel type walking down the hallway in slow motion, but everything is so pitch perfect. It's so fun. It's so exciting. It is, to me, one of the funniest sequences of all Marvel. And it does that without losing any impact on the violence. Rocket Raccoon asking for Star-Lord to steal a leg and then not actually needing it. It is so funny, and it's just so jammed full of action. There's even these little moments in it that I love looking back. Like when Star-Lord goes back to get his music player and that guard is listening to his music player that was a jerk to him, and he smashes him in the head. He smashes him in the head with the Infinity Stone, with the Power Stone. If it would have broke out of that vessel, it would have just destroyed everything right there. And then it would have, and people want to argue that Star-Lord is a well thought out person and wouldn't punch Thanos in the face. He hit this guard in the head with the Infinity Stone, just not realizing the risk that was, like, if that would have broken that, it would have ended that whole universe, you know? And he used it to just bash somebody in the head with it. You have high level, great action and fighting from every single character on this team. Every single character gets a moment, just like in the Avengers one, where you have your Star-Lord moments, you have Gamora being a beast, you have Drax, but then it culminates into the Groot Rocket moment that is like imprinted in my brain, and this is straight out of the comic books, and nobody could have done a better job with it, where Groot's in the middle of the like cafeteria or whatever, and he grows 10 times his size into a giant tree, and Rocket pulls out these guns and just starts blasting everybody, and you get this 360 panning of the scene, and it's like, it is funny, it is violent, it's brutal, it's well choreographed, it gives every character like their moments. It develops every single character, and at the end of the day, it develops this team that, even more than the Avengers, this is like the team of Marvel. Like, the Avengers go off and they do their own movies and stuff. Guardians of the Galaxy are always the Guardians of the Galaxy, and this is the introduction to this, to me, to this perfect team that we've loved every single moment of since. And it all starts, to me, with this sequence of this prison break, let alone like the showing the brilliance of Rocket to get them out of there, disabling the gravity. You have, again, this high intense, high violence, and then it's always momentarily broken up with some sort of bit of humor, and it's just like beat for beat in absolutely perfect sequence to me. I love it. I think about it all the time. It is, it's funny, it's great, it's exciting, and it builds the lore of this team that everybody fell so in love with that nobody knew of before these movies.
So this was one of the ones that was maybe on mine. I'm going to cut it out so that another, really the genesis, now that I think about it, of wanting to do this list was the one I'm going to pick. But it's hard to deny how well this one blends humor and heart and action. To me, it's maybe the leg joke is possibly still the funniest joke in the entire MCU. Just the lie about him wanting to hit that leg. But it's a perfect scene from the beginning when Groot decides he's just going to get the battery then and there. It's just perfect all the way to the gravity. And even besides when he turns off the gravity, when they get going, I think my favorite ending is just the guy who like hits the window and then just slides off of it. And it has the windshield wiper sound effects. Super perfect. Yeah, there's nothing I can say against this. Top of my honorable mention for sure. But I'm going to go with instead Ant-Man versus Yellow Jacket. I love this freaking scene. It is the most creative action scene in the entire MCU. This was a different sort of action movie, a different sort of MCU movie, and it utilizes the size-changing abilities of Ant-Man to great effect. I'm still so curious how crazy the Edgar Wright version of this movie would have been, but I think what we got was still fresh and fun and interesting and inspiring. Now, the central kind of joke of this is that he turns Yellow Jacket small, and when he does that, Yellow Jacket lands. So he turns them small so they can compete on the same level because he can turn small, and he lands on the Thomas the Train Engine little train set that's going off, and it's in their small world. It seems like a fully powered train, but like as things happen, for instance, he goes into the carpet and Yellow Jacket spots him, and it's like these big old carpet bristles. And when he comes out, it's ants all around him, and Yellow Jacket's attacking the ants, and he's trying to get to him or get to a place to attack him. And he throws a wood block at him, and it looks like it's going to just take him to kingdom come, but it only weighs as much as an actual wood block does, so it doesn't do anything. And the same thing happens later when he puts Yellow Jacket in like a position of vulnerability, and Yellow Jacket is run over by the Thomas the Train Engine, and you know, we see it about to happen, but then they pan out to the regular world size, and it's just like an actual little Thomas the Train set hitting him. It does no damage at all. And it's hilarious, but it's also really interesting how they weave the size in and out, because as him being small doesn't work, he turns him large, he turns him small again, and he finally has to go subatomic in order to destroy his circuitry and destroy his suit and turn him small so that he goes subatomic, continues going subatomic, and turns him subatomic. We find out kind of what that leads to in the third Ant-Man, but he does that to protect his daughter, who's at the center of everything he does in this movie. And I just think like it's so fun, so different from anything the MCU had done before. I bet it would have been even crazier with Edgar Wright behind it. But still, this is maybe my favorite MCU action scene. And I think just from like an artistic level, it may be one of the greatest.
You know, I always wonder about the Edgar Wright version of it. You mentioned this the other day, just talking to me. I don't think this was on the podcast, about how you think that the cut still ended up being pretty much like the Edgar Wright cut. And rewatching this fight scene, it does have that feel. The pan out, pan in type stuff, you know, that's Edgar Wright's idea. You know, that's there's no doubt that that's a similar thing to the movies that he's done with those hard jump cuts and stuff. But yeah, this is the most unique one. I do give it a ton of credit for that. It's another hard one to leave off my list. This was a tough list to do just in general. I didn't love the first Ant-Man movie as much as Cam, but rewatching this, it is a really funny, like, creative fight scene with it cutting from our size to the ant size back and forth, and the drama, and then the relief that comes with it when it's like the weight of a building block, or the Thomas the Tank Engine just sort of kind of jumps off the track a little bit, but it's the size of the train, and there's
at one point he accidentally turns an ant super large and it runs out of the house, and there's people out of there because it's, you know, crazy stuff's going on. And Avon Barksdale, or it's Wood Harris, but I just call him Avon, he says, "That's a funny looking dog."
But yeah, it's a good scene. I do appreciate it. It's not my favorite one, but all of the stuff that Cam says, I completely agree with, where there's just really nothing like it at all in the MCU, honestly, probably in movies in general. Like, I've never really seen anything like that. But yeah, it's a great scene. It perfectly mixes funny with the action pack, just like the Guardian scene. So I do like that pick. I think that was all of our picks, right?
That's it, man.
That's all of our picks. My picks this week, I had Thanos versus the Big Three, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor in Avengers Endgame. I had the Prison Break from Guardians of the Galaxy. I had the Black Panther chase scene from Civil War. And I had the Daredevil hallway fight. A lot of ours we've already touched on for the honorable mentions and stuff. And were either Cam's picks, or we talked about the Avengers and stuff. But some of the others that I wanted to mention, T'Challa versus Killmonger is a great, like, non-superpower fight scene where the villain wins. Really, really good. Cool moment in that when Killmonger takes off his shirt and you see all the marks, all the scars on him. Really great moment. One that I was surprised didn't make my list, but I don't regret it now. But the elevator fight scene from the Winter Soldier from Captain America 2. Man, that scene I love so much, where Cap is in the elevator with, you know, six Hydra and fighting in close quarters and stuff. That's a great one. The Winter Soldier knife fight with Captain America when they're fighting each other and they kind of steal each other's style and stuff. And then Black Widow's introduction scene, when we actually see that she's Black Widow and they're like, she's boxing Happy, and then all of a sudden puts him in this like flying armbar. All of Black Widow from Iron Man 2 is the best women fight scenes I've ever seen. And, you know, typically women don't get great fight scenes in movie. It's really like slow and janky. And this one, it was smooth and it fit her character. She's not going to overpower somebody, but she's like a jiu-jitsu master. Joe Rogan would be so proud, because she is smaller than the people that she comes upon, but she is easily jumping on them and twisting them and putting them in these flying arm bars. And it's absolutely the coolest that I've seen a women's fight scene to that point in my life.
Okay. I thought Shuri versus Namor and it, like, the fight itself was really cool.
To that point in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
I
had never seen, you know, as a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly fan, there's a lot of women's fight scenes in that are really janky and slow and, like, acted out.
No, that's like till 2011. I think you're totally right.
Yeah.
So for my list, I went with Ant-Man versus Yellow Jacket, The Battle of New York, The Guardians of the Multiverse versus Ultron, and The Spider-Man versus The Sinister Five. Honorable mention. Of course, Guardians of the Galaxy, Jailbreak Scene, T'Challa versus Killmonger, the first one, Iron Man versus Captain America and Bucky, The Battle of Titan, and The Battle for Earth in Endgame. Kind of. That one was hard to leave out, even though, like, I guess that's not really an honorable mention. I have four honorable mentions. That's not one.
Or you mean the Battle of Wakanda? Is that the one that you're talking about?
Either of them. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, neither of them would. Neither of them are my honorable mention.
I mean, there are tons that we left out too, but yeah, and the MCU, and this isn't even really even diving too deep into the Netflix, because there's that Luke Cage and the Bushmaster fighting the drug cartel. Dealers. Yeah, that's a pretty great one too. But yeah, it's MCU. We've always been big MCU fans, especially back in the golden day of it. But thank you to all you Bills, Phils, Nannies, and Does out there for tuning in once again. Like always, we appreciate you guys listening to us, and we always want to hear from you. You can reach out to us on Facebook, on Instagram, on our website. Let us know any Marvel scenes, fight scenes that you guys love that we didn't really mention. Again, there's hundreds and hundreds of them that you can mention now. So we'd like to hear from you guys. But thank you again for tuning in. And until next time,
stay great. Lead on. Avengers, assemble.